So, you know, I was pretty sick last week.
Yeah.
I started out with a sinus infection first. Okay. Went to the urgent care place and they gave me, I think it was amoxicillin, like these 875 milligram amoxicillin things, you know, like I'm sitting there thinking, wow. Cause it, each one of them is the size of a 6-inch sub, like a hoagie, you know, they're huge, right? At the same time, Lisa got sick with that stomach virus that was going around.
Yeah.
So, ergo, the way the logic works is I'm the one that's less sick, so I have to take care of her. Right? And, jeez. Yeah, it was nuts, dude. And she starts to feel a little bit better. And then guess who gets the stomach virus on top of having the sinus infection?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh. I must have been hard keeping those pills down.
Oh my God. It was hard to get them down first, you know? And, finally, like, I'm the guy who I would rather like shit myself 1,000 times than throw up once.
Yeah.
I just hate it that much. So like for, I don't know, 18 hours, I was doing the whole swallow a million times to just try to keep it down, to try to keep from vomiting, you know? And Wednesday morning, I come up here to sit on the toilet and piss out of my ass, as I've been known to do for that whole like 24-hour period prior to that. Didn't even get that far, and all of a sudden here comes the vomit, man. So I hurried up in one swooping motion, stand up, spin around, pirouette, duck down, and I witnessed a miracle, dude. It was a miracle I did not shit directly back into the shower unit.
Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your stubble. Oh, it's time for another episode of The Games. What role will you play?
Guys, gals, and guildies, welcome to episode 98 of The Gamesman. This is the show for the week of December the 17th, 2012. I am Steve Conger, also known as JSS Lifelike, on basically every gaming service imaginable, and cutting through all the sickness, the illness, all that crap, just getting right to it, Dan Knappman, Harley Dan.
Hey, man.
Hey, dude.
You're starting to get it now, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Oh, God. What a nightmare. Oh, you don't want it, man.
I hope it's not that.
You know what the funny thing is? I had talked to somebody else that had kind of like the same thing, and their doctor had told them that they had it was actually like a strain of the flu that was not covered by the flu vaccination.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
I still need to get mine.
No way, man. I don't trust what the government puts in them. No way. Not going to do it. As much as I hate to vomit, I think I'd rather vomit.
Fair enough, man.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Oh, not much, you know, just chilling out, playing some Guild Wars. Really enjoying the Christmassy stuff.
Let's not talk about that.
I heard you had a bit of an issue with that.
Oh, so angry, man. You know, like, Guild Wars 2 is supposing to put forward this facade that it is the anti-MMO MMO, but at every turn, it's falling into the typical MMO trappings, you know, for me. And that whole thing last night, I almost uninstalled it.
Jeez.
I almost uninstalled it. I was just so disgusted because it is a game that is not accommodating to life that I am trying to fit into my life.
Yeah.
And trying to do a special event quest that only lasts 24 hours. Okay. In the certain like 1 or 2 hour window that I have to do it. And then going there, trying to pick up a pickup group, then being squelched for excessive, text chatter, apparently, yeah. You know, excessive text chat. it had me suppressed for like 20 minutes. I even logged out, closed the game, logged back in. Every time I would go to direct message somebody to get into a group, the group was already full and they'd be gone.
Mm. Jeez, man.
Yeah, I was so mad. And I said, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck it in its stupid ass. I'm done with it. So what that did to me was just make me not care about the Winter's Day stuff now.
Yeah.
Because now I missed it, so what's the point of me getting back on the horse?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, I haven't missed any, so I'm still excited.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess, you know, once you've missed that one, that's going to make it harder getting the other achievements. And
yeah. Unless after tomorrow they start to cycle again and go back to the first city.
Yeah, they might. I don't know if they will, but
yeah,
that would be kind of nice.
They probably won't. I mean, but,
no, not if you need it.
No, exactly. Yeah. So what else going on? Anything?
Not much. Just getting ready for Christmas. Got my presents sorted, I think.
I've not bought one present yet.
Jeez, man, I mean, leaving it like.
Well, she's basically, that's her deal this year, and we decided to not get each other anything, but I already know better than that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'll figure something out. I'm not too worried about it. But I already told her that she's on the mission, her and my folks. That's the day after Christmas thing, is to go find us a new tree. Cause we didn't even put one up this year. After that one went, you know, and we tried to put it up and the whole center section, we just couldn't find the short. And, that'll be, you know, we'll try to find a nice one. I think it's what we did 5 years ago when we bought that one. We got it for like $50 the day after. It was a pre-lit and everything, you know.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, probably do something like that. But anyway, this is just a precursor to what you and I sat down and recorded a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which was a big old spoiler section on The Walking Dead. So we're just going to kind of step to the side here and let you take a listen to that. So I'm here with Dan, and we are spoiling the shit out of The Walking Dead, the video game, all 5 episodes. So, Dan, I'm just going to start with the fact that I wasn't even going to buy this game. And then I watched the first, like, 10 minutes on a YouTube video, and I was completely, like, old school, like, scum VM hooked.
Mm. I didn't even buy the game. And I've said it several times on this show, but I am so indebted to Gary, otherwise known as Amorous89. Thank you so much for buying it. And this game is, oh, well, you're going to hear about it now.
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
Exactly. So, episode 1, and, you know, it starts out with Lee Everett, who is the main character, in the back of the police car. He is a suspect in the murder of his wife and, what was it, like her supposed estranged lover or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, her lover.
Yeah. So there's all that. And then all hell breaks loose, and he ends up in the police car crashes. He ends up, you know, over the hillside, and then it gets pretty point-and-clicky and puzzly at that point.
But that opening scene... Yeah, with the conversation with the police officer. He's one of my favorite characters, and he's like in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, it grabs you from the first second that this game. It's fantastic.
You know, I wanted to do like an MST3K of episode 1, you know, a long time ago. You remember we talked about that.
Mm.
For the one reason that car rolled forever, and it was only about 8 feet off the road.
Yeah. That is a bit further than that.
Yeah, maybe. Not
16,
too far.
18.
Yeah. So, you know, as he makes his way through the woods, he comes across this house, and he hears something in the little treehouse, and it ends up being a young girl who is basically all alone. And, you know, you come to know her and love her as Clementine. Yeah.
And she breaks your heart so much through that game.
I know. Oh, so good. So, you know, she brings you in the house, and this is where you get the first taste of killing a zombie with bludgeoning the zombie with the hammer, the babysitter.
Yeah.
Which I think wasn't the achievement. I don't even know if you noticed, but or the trophy or the achievement was called Adventures in Babysitting, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, you come around the front of the house and you see some guys out there, and you know you're leery because this is obviously the zombie apocalypse. And the people that you come across, one of them ends up being Sean Green, which is Herschel Green's son.
Yeah.
And Herschel, if you know from the TV show or the comic, now this incarnation looks a lot more like the comic, obviously, because
it's kind of hard to get actors to look like a comic book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been balls deep in the graphic novels. So,
Something that I've been told is well worth getting on the original Kindle because it's in black and white.
It is, and it's great. I mean, at first when I got it, I was like, wait a minute, you mean this is in black and white? And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Of course it doesn't. Some of the greatest films ever produced have been in black and white, and it doesn't matter at all. Yeah.
It's great.
It's what your imagination's for, guys.
Yes. I'm actually surprised that there wasn't like a sepia filter or something like that on this game. You know, it really surprises me, the decision to go color, but I guess over five episodes, you kind of have to.
But, you know, some of the animation style kind of gives it that kind of old time. Well, not old time, but that kind of retro feel.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits in. Actually, it fits in really well.
Well, I mean, a lot of the design decisions in this game are brilliant, I think. But so at Herschel's farm, you're basically just there recharging your batteries. And you meet the three people who will basically be with you for most of the rest of your journey in Kenny, Katja, and Duck.
Duck, 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 duck.
Oh, that duck. You know, he reminded me so much of Carl, you know, from the TV show. It's like, you know, stay in the house, Carl, you know, because every time he comes out of the house, somebody dies. You know, so, but you know, you meet Kenny and Duck and Katja, and they offer you, by the end of this episode, they offer you a ride to Macon, Georgia, which is where you're trying to get to, which is where your actual family, not your married family, but your actual blood family,
mom and pop.
Yep. Where they reside. But while you're here, you're faced with a couple of pretty tough decisions. Like the first one is to whether or not to lie to Herschel. He don't like it if you lie to him.
Yeah, he can see straight through you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think I was lying to Herschel, and he still gave me that, well, you better not lie to other folk. And I'm like, dude, I just withheld some truth. That's not really lying.
I know.
He's like, yeah, well, you're lying to me. Okay, and I actually took that as, okay, this is the way the game's going. It's, you know, withholding the truth is akin to lying in this game. So
yeah, right. Exactly.
That's how I based the rest of my choices.
So
based on that one character, he's a pivotal character for the way you play the game, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of sets the tone early on of how you are going to either treat the system or cheat the system, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know how you feel, but this is something that we kind of said on shows previous, that I think that this game handles choice and decision miles better than Mass Effect.
So much better than any other game I've played, I think. I'm trying to think of a game that has that. The Fallout 3? No, that doesn't. Fallout? No.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
I think it's, you know, for decisions, it's, they feels like they have weight. It's the, you know, it's, your decisions are important. They have impetus and weight. And what you say goes. And every single tiny little thing you do has some kind of effect on the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And that is made clear in, what is it, chapter 3 of the first episode?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's the first the first real agonizing decision is, yeah, you know, there's a zombie attack and you have to choose to save Doc or Sean. And who did you save?
Well, I did the quick mental arithmetic of, okay, there's Sean, who's what, late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc, who's preteens, he's got more life to live. I'll go for Doc.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I don't know, even know what happens if you choose Sean, you know? I mean, I guess supposedly the story that I get is that Sean dies anyway.
So he's not that handy.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of me was thinking, hey, it could be quite useful.
Yeah, so Duck will live to kill someone another day.
In that decision, part of me was thinking, like, this kid's parents are here.
Yeah.
There's two of them. Okay, he's got a parent. There's one of him. Oh, no, does he have a wife? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's obvious that they're not going to be continuing characters. And I was like, okay, I kind of know that Duck's parents are going to be – they're offering me a lift. I kind of need to do good by them. it was kind of a selfish decision, I suppose, to make sure their child lived. But, I wasn't expecting a decision like that so early on.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I guess I should say that, you know, we're going to be jumping around a lot, you know, in this little short spoiler section. So, you know, you're going to have played this.
If you haven't played this, you probably should have stopped about 4 minutes ago.
Maybe longer. Yeah. So, anyway, like, you end up getting that ride to Macon and you find the Everett Pharmacy, which is the family pharmacy. And you meet some more characters that are holed up inside. And two of them, you end up having a choice to pick whether they use a gun or not, I think. Or do you choose whether Carly gets the gun? I can't remember.
I can't remember. I only played it a few days ago.
I can't remember. But anyway, I mean, who did you end up having, Carly or Doug?
Oh, yeah, that's it. The zombies break through and you decide who you're going to save.
Mm-hmm.
And Carly's got a gun. And Doug's at a window.
Doug's a douche,
basically,
yeah.
He's like, me, basically, the fat kind of IT guy. And so I chose Carly because she's got a gun.
Yeah, I did the same thing, too. I wish you'd have done something different. Or maybe I wish I would have done something different.
Well, I'm kind of thinking guns, kind of useful when you got to shoot stuff. IT, when there's no power, nah.
Doesn't much matter, does it?
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, okay, and that's, you've got like, what, 4 seconds to choose?
Yeah, it's not long. And I mean, the reason I want to know is,
it's probably about two and a half, three seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I want to know is that later on in one of the episodes, at least for me, Carly just got capped in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was, what was it, episode 3, I think.
Yeah, and we'll come on to that, but I knew who'd done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you're at the motel, you know, you go through all that stuff, and that motel ends up being the setting for the beginning of the second episode.
Yeah, you got it all fortified, and it's all going good.
So the second episode...
Yeah, this is cool.
Is there a way to keep from chopping the guy's leg off?
I don't know, David. Because you kind of spoiled that for me in a previous pre-show talk. And so I just didn't bother going for the chain and chopped the guy's leg off. And that is horrific. Yeah.
And I mean, that's the first time in a lot of times where, okay, let's do this real quick. And then all of a sudden it's chop or saw and chop or saw and chop or saw. It's not quick.
Yeah, no, mine was just chop, 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 chop. And you not sharpen the axe before you use it? That was awful.
They make you feel every stroke of that.
And the sound that comes through with the crunching and the kind of meaty sound as you go through the flesh. The Foley guys who did the sound effects for that, they must have had a field day chopping water.
Yeah.
I, I would have loved to have worked on the sound of this game, because all the way through the game, the sound is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
It never sounds like someone's just kind of just made up a sound by running a piece of metal across another piece of metal and then hitting a melon. It sounds like it's an axe biting into flesh, or, it's fantastic.
So, as this episode progresses, somebody is supposedly stealing food and giving it away to bandits, correct?
Yeah.
Nobody knows who it is. So they come across, the group as a whole comes across, some guys that say that they have a farm. So they head to the farm. Okay, the St. John Dairy Farm.
I saw that coming.
I did too, a little bit of the way in. Mm. But
you see the brother.
Yeah. So, the part of the bandit camp that you head out to once you're at the farm, and Jolene, the chick that appears with the crossbow.
Yeah.
How was she related to Clementine again?
She wasn't. She was just Fruit Loop mental. She lost a child, and she kind of mentally... she was watching Clementine, and she superimposed Clementine onto her lost daughter.
Okay. I was wondering about that. I mean, I didn't kill her. And Dan, one of the brothers, he killed her. I don't know if you shot her or not.
No, that's exactly the same way as I played it.
But anyway, I guess the dairy farm, it's...
it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, they're kind of cannibals, man. And they got...
Yeah, that's I got that as soon as I saw the other brother, the second one you meet. What's his name? I can't remember his name, but the kind of yellow-looking guy that looks like he's been eating far too much human flesh. turns out he's been eating far too much human flesh.
Well, yeah, and the worst part of it is one of your party members, Mark, is the one that's sitting laying upstairs with tourniquets on his legs, and they're chopping leg pieces off to eat him and feeding them to to the rest of the party sitting at the table.
Were you quick enough to stop everyone eating it? I wasn't. They didn't like that.
No, I was fast enough to stop Clementine.
I stopped Clementine, but not everyone else.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Like, fork in his mouth, going, this is tasty. And I'm like, dude, it's
Mark.
It's Mark.
So.
But even on that choice, where what you say when you get there, you can be blunt about, but everything you do and everything, loads of the choices until this point, they all affect Clementine.
Yeah.
And her perception of you, and that's what ends. That's she's the kind of impetus of the game, looking after Clementine.
Yes, and I think there's a parallel to be drawn too, as you look over her and you watch her and you try to make sure that she's raised the proper way in a time where raising children is probably the hardest that it's ever been or ever will be.
Yeah,
but at the same time, she's your Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, she's
your moral compass.
And even when she's not there on screen, you're thinking, what would Clementine like to hear me? Because you're thinking, it's going to get back to what I've done. And you're kind of thinking, well, I better do this way because Clementine's my world.
Yeah.
And this character, she becomes your world.
She does.
Absolutely
literally.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Better than all those kind of dolls that they're giving out to kids at school now where they've got to, wake them up and feed them and change their nappies and all that shit to prepare them for parenthood. Just put them in front of this game.
And speaking of, that leads to me what is quite possibly the most important decision that you can make in the game. At the end of episode 2, you come across an abandoned car and it's filled with food. Yeah. And you decide whether to steal or not steal the food from the car.
Now, if you haven't got this far in the game, do stop listening, because this is a key moment.
Yes. Yes, key moment. As
game-ruining moment.
Yes, yes. So what did you do? Did you take the food?
No, I didn't. But Well, I looked at it and then Clementine said no, so I didn't.
I took it. So I'm anxious to see when we get there to see what was different.
Yeah, probably not a lot.
Okay. All right. So just a quick rundown of episode 3.
I have to say we have left a hell of a lot out.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot to leave out, but, you know, the spoiler section can only be so long.
Exactly. You know? For us to actually go through the whole of the game would take about 10 hours.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're not going to do that because we're, quite frankly, far too lazy.
So you leave in episode 3 the motel.
Yeah.
You leave the farm behind. You're on the road. You know, Kenny has the idea to get to water. So he wants to get to the ocean. So you jump in the RV, and at this point is Lily, Carly, and Ben, correct? I think.
Yeah, that's what I had.
And nobody knows who was giving away the food at the motel.
Yeah,
Carly or Ben.
Probably touch on about that whole, you go around asking everyone and trying to figure out who did it. And there are some key kind of facial expressions from one of the characters that gives you a fairly good idea of who was, doling out your meds to the kind of guys that are attacking you.
The bandits, yeah.
The bandits, yeah. That was the one I was looking for.
And you stop the RV.
Yeah.
Talking with Lily and Carly outside and Kenny. And all of a sudden Lily just pulls out her gun and caps Carly right in the head. So I don't know what happens if maybe Doug just gets eaten in that first part, no matter what you decide. So maybe you have Carly no matter what, I guess.
Mm. Yeah.
But later on in this episode, Ben stops you on the train and he says, "Man, I just can't keep it inside anymore. It was me. It was me. I was doing it. I was giving the stuff away."
Yeah. I was like, I knew it was you. I could tell it was you from the previous episode with the way you were acting when I mentioned the pink chalk and everything like that. You were shifty as fuck. I knew it was you. And there's an option when you've got that conversation with Carly and she's there with the gun out, whatever. It wasn't Carly with the gun, was it? It was, whoever it was with the gun.
Lily.
And there's an option, Lily, there's an option for it was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm wondering what happens if you selected that.
I don't know. They probably don't believe you. I bet.
Yeah, someone's going to get capped.
Well, so they cuff Lily and keep her in the RV. And Duck kind of got bit, didn't he?
Yeah, on the escape from the motel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that's
that motel bit with the zombies, one of the sections. Quite good if you're playing on the PC, so you can switch to keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So the whole time, Katja is holding Duck and just kind of holding him in her arms and enjoying the moments that are left, I guess. That in itself was a little rough. And
yeah, you get another tough decision, don't you?
Mm-hmm. And You get to a point where the railroad car, the actual engine, is blocking the road. So you stop the RV. Lily happens to unbind herself. And
yeah, how the hell did she do that?
I don't know. And she steals the RV and drives away. So it's up to you to get the train running. And was it before? It obviously had to be before...
Before you get the train running, but after she nicks the RV, but before you get the train running.
Yes. Duck turns, and you have the decision of who pulls the trigger.
Hmm.
What did you do?
Well, I stayed silent.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay. It's not my kid. It really isn't my call.
Yeah.
And so,
so who did it?
Well, what happened was, what's her name? The mother, Duck's mother?
Katja.
Katja, yeah. Katja went to the woods to do the deed, and she shot herself.
Yes. Yes. That whole thing was nuts.
Yeah. That was the, one of the, that's gotta be one of the first real emotional points of the game where it really kind of tears at your heartstrings.
Yes.
To make that decision. And you don't have much time to do it. And it's one of those points where, you know, I really felt for everyone, especially Kenny. Cause, you know, he wasn't bitten. It was his son. And then his wife blows it. Jeez, yeah. Man.
All of a sudden, he's by himself. He's alone. Yeah. Yeah.
One complaint I have about Kenny, which is going back to episode 2 with the, cannibals.
Yes.
There's a point where you have to choose whether or not you help him or you try to resuscitate,
Lily's dad. Yeah.
Lily's dad, yeah. If you don't help him, Kenny hates you for the rest of the game.
Really?
Kinda, yeah.
Well, no, see, I was fine with that. I didn't help him, and he just grabbed a cinder block and squashed Larry's face.
Yeah, for the rest of the game, it's like, well, I thought you had my back, but you don't anymore. And all the way through, it's like, yeah, well, you know, we were friends. Jesus Christ, man, one decision. And you hate me for the rest. Thanks a lot.
Dude. Yeah.
Thanks a freaking lot.
See, I did the same thing, but he ended up being fine with me. I mean, maybe because I killed his kid for him and didn't have to, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, I did that. Yeah. But he was still kind of like, well, I thought we were friends.
Yeah, he's,
like, dude, I just killed your kid for you.
Well, he's kind of, he has his ups and downs through the whole thing. I mean,
has to be the most likable redneck in a game ever.
I know. What the hell of a mustache.
Yeah. Is that an award we're going to have?
Probably not. I don't know.
Most likable redneck.
Yeah. Best mustache in a video game. The Sam Elliott Award. Yeah. So at the end, you come across two other characters, Krista and Omid, who play a pretty big part in the next two episodes.
Yeah.
And you get a chance toward the end to make a decision as Krista or Omid are running alongside the train. So who did you choose?
I chose Omid, but there's a bit before that when I pushed him off the bridge and I loved doing that.
Jesus.
It was that whole kind of, I'm not going to jump. Oh, okay, fine. Push.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I loved that bit. Yeah, I picked Omid, which meant I got both of them.
Now, I picked Krista and I ended up getting him too.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah, it totally was one of those moments that I expected for him to die, and he didn't.
Like screwed from bouncing off that tracker.
So either way, both of them survive.
Ah, so it's a non-choice choice.
Exactly. Where you think that it is one, but it's not.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of episode 4, the group makes it to the city. They ride the train all the way to the coast. And the big thing about episode 4 is the ending where, no matter what, Lee gets bit.
Yeah.
Wow. And then the whole episode ends on him grabbing the walkie-talkie. Someone's been talking to Clementine. Okay. Mm. And Clementine disappears. And apparently this person, this party, has her. And the last choice is, I'll kill you. What do you want? And something else. And I chose what do you want? And no matter what you choose, it just cuts to black and it's over.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And that's where I left it thinking, I've got episode 5. I can just play it now, but it's 4 in the morning and I probably should go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
That was so tempting.
So how many people did you have with you at that point? Because now, by the end of that episode, it's possible for you to have, any number of people with you.
Right. Well, I had Omid,
mm-hmm.
His girlfriend.
Yes.
Kenny.
Okay.
Clementine. Obviously.
No, she's gone at the end of that.
Well, yeah, but yeah, she's still in the game.
Yeah.
Benny? Is that his name?
Yeah. Now, see, I dropped him in the bell tower.
Oh, in the bell tower. You know, I see.
Yes, in episode 4. Yeah, I dropped him.
Yeah, he comes to an end.
I was at the point where, you know what? Fuck this guy. I'm sorry. and I should have never dropped him, but by him lying and getting Carly killed, which I think was one of my best assets at that point, I just wanted rid of him.
You see, I thought that, but I wanted to give him a chance. And I wanted to give him a chance. There's a point that we're about to come to, jumping from a room.
Mm-hmm.
Where something happens.
Yes.
And I'll get to that when we get to that.
So, if any of you have read the graphic novel of The Walking Dead or watched the TV show, and in my opinion, what is to come on the TV show, you are completely familiar with the first thing that happens in episode 5, which is Everett decides to either himself or have someone else saw off his arm where he got bit to stop the infection from spreading.
Yeah.
Wow. And 4 or 5 saws.
Mm, yeah.
Like strokes again, you know, we come back
and
to
again,
that.
Fantastic sounds.
Oh God. It was
tributes to the Foley artists in that.
It was excruciating.
I'm guessing you went for the saw job.
Yeah, I had Krista do it.
Yeah. It doesn't really help, does it?
No, it doesn't. It wasn't any better. So he, you know, Everett comes back and he's ready to go after and try to figure out where she is, where Clementine is. Finds out that she is in the...
It's just the hotel that her parents are staying at on holiday every year.
Yes, the Marsh House Hotel.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is the place where her folks go on their sort of stay vacation every year. And I walk in, and I don't know who this guy is, okay, the guy that's holding her.
Oh, but, dude, the bit beforehand when you discover that wall of dead meat with the zombies on spears, that was horrific.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There is some imagery, throughout the whole thing. And I enter into the hotel. And I see this guy, I don't know who the hell he is. And he tells me that was his car full of groceries that I stole.
Speak for yourself.
In episode 2. Okay. And that he's been waiting for me because I was the one that didn't feed his family and he had to go off after his son and his wife got killed.
Mm-hmm.
All because I decided to take all of the groceries out of the car. So what happened for you? This is what I'm interested in.
Well, what happened for me was, he had a right go at me because the people I was with decided to take the stuff from the car. And even though I was the leader, it was still my fault.
that's
kind of
crappy.
I had some batteries because one of the people we were with takes some batteries and she's like, oh, well, there's some batteries here that should work in your walkie talkie. And yeah. And you get the achievement. It's not stealing if you need it. and I was like, Clementine didn't have the hoodie. She didn't want us to take anything from the car. We didn't take anything from the car. She didn't have the change of clothes through the entire game.
Yeah. He did say, look, your kid's even wearing my kid's hoodie. You know, for me. Yeah.
None of that. But it was like, your group, you were in charge of them. They took stuff. I was like, we didn't take any, but they took stuff. I was like, dude.
I know. So I don't know how this played out for you.
Yeah.
But it ends up that Clementine sneaks out of the room.
Yeah, that happened.
And she is the one that totally sinks the knife that you were trying to keep hidden into this guy's head and kills him. So
for mine, I think it was into his shoulder.
Was it? And maybe it was. I can't remember.
And then there's a bit of a fight, and then she caps him in the head.
Yes, I think you are correct. So, time to grow up, Clem.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, they decide to cover themselves in zombie guts and try to walk out the front door. And yeah. In walking out the front door, there's Mom and Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. And you don't know it's the mom and dad, but it's obvious that it.
Who else would it be?
Yeah. The way the lingering shot and the way that Clementine looks, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And Lee passes out.
Yeah.
So she drags him to safety inside this warehouse. And that is the point, you know, with the puzzle and a zombie, you know, a security guard.
Mm.
This is the point where she
drags you into a...
Wow.
Yeah.
Where she has to totally handcuff you to the register.
Yeah. Then you have the choice of whether or not she shoots you in the head or not.
Yes. And I had her shoot me in the head. And this is the point where I totally teared up and Lisa bawled her eyes out.
I didn't have her shoot me in the head.
Didn't you?
No, I told her to save her ammo because you never know when you're going to need it.
Wow. It was amazing. And Lee tells her to go find Krista and Omid. And then there's the little post sort of credits thing where she's in the woods by herself, like out on a plane somewhere. Sits on a log.
Sorry. If you're one of those guys that, or girls that doesn't watch the credits and then just skips to the menu scene, you're missing out.
You lost out big time. Yeah.
Because there's a visual at the end of it, and that was the most tear-jerking part of the entire game for me. That had me where I didn't actually shed tears because, well, let's face it, I'm British and I have a stiff upper lip. But it got me so close with her sitting on that log. And there's this, you know, cornfield vista and a slight hillock in the distance. And there's two people walking. And that could be Omid and his missus. But you don't know. It could be a couple of zombies. They didn't walk like zombies. But it spoke volumes about there being a series two.
Yeah. And supposedly through a lot of implied, I mean, I thought it was rather blatant, but, you know, Krista not wanting to drink and Krista throwing up in the morning and morning sickness, that I think it implied that she is pregnant. And, you know, that's sort of the best environment that Clementine could grow up in. And Lee knew that.
Yeah. And there is one thing I'd like to read from Facebook. Now, I don't know if any of you have checked it, but Clementine has her own Facebook page. And it reads, in a deserted town, a young woman lays on a dirty, smelly mattress, lazy looking at the cracked ceiling. Breathing slowly and quietly, she scratches dirt off an old smelly baseball cap. The white and blue has faded from years of sunlight, causing small clouds of dust and dried mud to float around her fingernail. Silence is bliss, she thinks to herself, but from experience she knows it's never going to last long. She looks at her backpack, seeing a walkie-talkie in the front string pouch with the remains of flower-shaped stickers. Memories start flowing, only now some of the faces are blurred. Sometimes this woman wishes she was still 8 years old and back in Macon, and the dead have never started walking. After peeking through the window and carefully moving the remains of a blind out of the way, she thinks to herself, come on, world, give me a freaking break. Suddenly she hears a noise of glass being crushed underfoot. Looks like I've got some company for a change, says Clem.
There you go. And I don't know what more can be said about the game, and maybe that is a little bit of foreshadowing of what is to come for Season 2.
I only hope it is. Wouldn't it be fantastic to play as Clementine?
Yeah, all grown up.
Yeah.
Some badass sort of Glenn prototype, you know, like prototypical, runner, you know.
reading that has actually brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
It's such...
Great game.
Such a great game.
Great game. And definitely, I think, at the top of my list right now.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because I loved Xenoblade Chronicles. So and
I don't know when this is going out, but there's some IGN stuff that you can vote for... Is it IGN? I can't remember what it is. Anyway, there's some stuff where you can vote for the best female lead with the actress playing Clementine. And hell, she got my vote.
Yeah. And obviously Spike VGAs and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, Dan. Well, I appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun just kind of going through and talking a little bit about it. And can't wait for season two.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Pretty thorough there, but there were a few things that I just kind of wanted to touch on real quick. Dan, as glowingly positive as I think we were, it was kind of hard not to see the sort of diamond-shaped flowchart of the game. Like, you know, there's a defined beginning point, and there is basically a defined ending point, but it's almost like playing Outrun in the middle.
Yeah, different paths. And
you're shaping the way, the character gets there and that kind of thing. But not something that's terribly customizable, but it still allows for that emotional attachment.
Mm.
Very much so. And the head in the bowling ball bag, man. How crazy was that?
I was kind of expecting it when kept looking at it, but yeah, that was pretty cool. That guy was nuts.
Yeah, you think so? You'd be crazy too if somebody stole your groceries.
I didn't steal them.
Somebody did.
I can't believe I was chatting to Gary about it the other day, and he didn't even notice that it was a bowling ball bag. He was like, "What bowling ball bag?" I'm like, dude, the bag with the head in. Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, with the chattering skull.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, how about some shout-outs?
Yeah, I haven't got any.
What?
All the listeners, it's been a blast, and thanks for listening, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we got one more show, that regular show next week, yeah, which we have some terrific listener RPG stuff lined up for. I don't know, man. Getting kind of pumped. And then the live show, episode 100, after the beginning of the year, which we'll get you all filled in on what day that's going to be and what the time is. It'll probably be on a Saturday evening, around 7 p.m. Eastern, more than likely. But
that might be a little bit tricky.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe.
That's my birthday.
Well, I haven't even said the day yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Every day.
Every Saturday Every next Saturday. Year is my birthday.
That's ridiculous. Well, as far as me, I know this is just kind of ridiculous, but all the families up in Newtown, Connecticut, man.
Hmm.
That whole shooting, jeez, yeah, just geez. Amazing, man. Just the thoughts and prayers and everything out to all those people. It's amazing. And, I know it's kind of wrong, but the first thing I thought about was, you see all these people, oh my God, our hearts pour out to you and all this and stuff. But how many of those goddamn people were out there stomping somebody on Black Friday to save $20 on a big wheel?
Yeah.
Just the hypocrisy everywhere. And, what's a white suburban housewife doing with a fucking assault rifle anyway?
Yeah, that's some crazy shit.
Ugh, you need to get those goddamn things off the street. But you know what? Our society has, and I don't know if it's the same over there, but that's kind of the way that it is here, is our society has sort of programmed us to think that, you know, you are not a man unless you're standing on the right side of the barrel of a gun.
Mm.
You know? Like, oh, just stay right there. I'll go get my gun. I'll show you. You know?
Yeah.
So, it's just bad. Just bad. But anyway, also VGHub.net. There is a great wealth of gaming content over at VGHub.net. So go check it out. Dan, what for the week to come?
Yeah, pretty much same as always. Hardly Dan. I'm on Twitter, Guild Wars, Steam. Yeah, just put in Hardly Dan and that's probably me.
0.4219.
Yeah. That's the Guild Wars one. I keep forgetting that one.
It's ridiculous.
What about you, Steve?
JSSLIFELIKE, pretty much everywhere. That's Nintendo Network, that's PSN, that's Xbox Live, that's Steam, that's Skype, that's Twitter, that's numerous amounts of places. So, Dan, you want to wrap the whole thing up?
Yeah, sure. Don't forget to check our Facebook page. Give us a like, we'll read your name out. We haven't had any this week, so that's nice and easy for me. We could do with some more voicemails. We've, you know, only got one show left, unless you want to call into the live one. You call the RPG hotline at 412-267-RPG1. Or you can email us. Our email address is thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out our Twitter account. It is @thegamesmanrpg. And we've got some new followers this week. We've got the fantastic Chinny the Diva. yeah, Battersoft, IW Block, Connor MCL, The Wigglesworth, and UK Odessa. So thanks, guys.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us at this late date. And don't forget, you can always check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg. Yeah, so two shows left.
Yeah, two shows left, man. Coming up, like I said, we're going to have some pretty neat content for, we're going to play RPG, you know, for the last show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
The last regular show. Yeah, it'll be a good time. I've listened to two of the voicemails. They're really good. You know, I think we're going to do maybe some quick fire Twitter topics for the boss battle. So that'll be a lot of fun. Also, for the Game of the Year show, I want you to add JSSLIFELIKE on Skype if you would like to Skype in. If you cannot be there and you still want to get in on the episode 100 fun, you can submit an MP3 to, like Dan said, thegamesonrpg@gmail.com or voicemails to the RPG hotline at 412-267-RPG1. So, you know, either way, you got a bunch of ways to do it. We'd love to hear from you for episode 100. So, all right, that is it. And thank you, Dan. Again, you know, a lot of fun. Spoiler yep. section.
Oh, I really enjoyed doing that.
I know. It's so much to hold in.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But I wanted that to definitely be one of the last shows. So, all right, that's going to do it for episode 98. So on behalf of Daniel Knappman, I am Lifelike. We are the Gamesmen. And until next time, we ask,
what role will you play?
not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion short of full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.